Welcome to the Christchurch London podcast. This is a talk from our Stockwell service. To find out about upcoming talks at each of our services, or to listen to other talks, please visit christchurchlondon.org.
My name is Helen, and together with my husband Shininga, who's running point this morning, and I'm a little bit in the doghouse because I only told him he was doing it last night. I'm coming out of the doghouse, it's all right. But he's doing a great job. Everyone tell him how great he is, and what a great job. That will really help me out. Thanks. anyway, but together we lead the service here in Stockwell, and we have two children, Tammy and Layla, and a naughty little dog called Buddy, who's very friendly, too friendly sometimes. And we just wanted to say, we're new, to those of you who don't know, we're new to this role. We're like a couple of months in, and we are just so grateful for you guys to opening your hearts and opening your homes and just embracing us as friends and as part of this congregation. And we feel incredibly enveloped by you guys. So we just want to say a huge thank you. We're trying to get around to all the communities and meet with everyone for coffees and stuff like that. So I would just say, if you want to reach out as well, that's great. You can email me, helen@christchurchlondon.org or shininga@christchurchlondon.org. And let's get to know each other. That would be really nice. Wonderful. So let's just pray and then we'll get started. Father, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for this day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for all that you have for us this morning. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and have your way this morning, to come and fill us to overflowing, to reintroduce yourself to us in your fullness, Holy Spirit, that we may know you better, that we may walk with you better, and that we may be pleasing to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this morning I'm going to be kind of putting a comma at the end of our Luke series. We're going to come back to it. This is Luke part one, and then we're going to have Luke part two a little later on in the year. So I'm going to be speaking about the baptism of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And by way of an introduction, I suppose, I'd just like to touch upon what's happening in Asbury, because I think most of you know about it. For those who don't know about it, Asbury is a small town in Kentucky, in the USA, and it's a university college campus. It's a small campus. There's about 1,700 students there. It's a small town, about 8,000 people. And on the 3rd of February, they had their regular service in their chapel where they were praying and worshiping, and it hasn't finished. It hasn't stopped since. So they are still praying and worshiping, and Holy Spirit is really doing something there. People are coming now from far and wide to sort of experience what's going on in Asbury. They have had about 25,000 visitors. They've had to sort of set up about 5 different sort of camps and fields. They've taken over fields to sort of spread it out. There are people coming, more people coming. There's like queues and queues, and they estimate that there's more people in the queues than there are already there. And this is all young people. These are students. These are kind of mostly what we would call Gen Zs and young people who have just started worshipping God. And this is actually not the first outpouring or revival that has happened in Asbury. There have been several others. The previous one was in the 1970s. Is it revival? A lot of people are calling it revival, and I think it's just worth touching on a few things, and we hope that it is revival, and that what we can't deny is that God is definitely doing something really exciting. One of the things to note about revival is that it touches everyone, all classes, colours, education, background, wealth bracket, and it impacts communities, it impacts nations, it impacts governments. It has a very far-reaching impact. There are two types of revivals, sort of spontaneous and organized, although I guess theologians would say that they're all organized. They're all planned in heaven. A spontaneous revival is when, you know, people come together as they would normally, and then something significant, miraculous happens, and suddenly there is an outpouring and it doesn't stop. Then there's organized revivals, which are generally speaking led by quite probably quite big churches or well-known speakers, and they people have prayed and prepared and made space for Holy Spirit to come and revive and renew. And that is, you know, they might have like a Holy Spirit revival evening or Holy Spirit revival conference, and those ones are sort of more organized and planned. I think you'll agree with me that Asbury looks like it's very much the former. It's a spontaneous outpouring. And it's initially, it was marked by confession, repentance, prayer, worship, and also emotional and mental healing. There's been healing of relationships particularly. And it initially, at least, it's been Christians renewing their love for Christ. So people who have been, you know, have come from a culture of Christianity have now sort of woken up to the fact that, oh, hold on, yeah, this is actually real. And there's been repentance and confession, and people are really kind of all sold out for God and really going for what God has for them. So it's just worth noting these distinctions. Of course, in a revival, we would see a lot of unchurched people who don't know Christ coming to Christ. That's another sign of revival. But I think the messaging is slightly changing from Asbury, where they were saying they were inviting people to sort of come and experience this outpouring with us. And now they're saying, you know, go and take this back to where you're going. So, I'm hearing reports that non-Christian people are coming and getting to know Christ. So it's just worth knowing these things and worth noting what it is and what it isn't. Of course, what is completely undeniable is that God is on the move. He is stirring hearts and he is doing something really exciting. And that's exciting for all of us. And what should we do? Well, we should pray, for one. Pray for people who are going to Asbury, pray for people who are there. Pray for what God is doing. Pray that it spreads and that his perfect will is done. And we should be open because God is moving. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it when God is moving. He is not a respecter of persons in the sense that, you know, God can pour out in Stockwell just as he pours out in Asbury. We don't have to be from there. It's the same God. So I'm just believing that just as he's pouring himself in Asbury, he's going to pour himself out here in Stockwell. And that kind of leads me nicely into what I'm going to talk about today, which is the baptism of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm not planning to talk for long today. I'm going to cover a few things, and then we're just going to invite Holy Spirit to come and fill us and see what he wants to do. Maybe we too will be here for a few days, weeks. See what the school says about that. So if you are taking notes, I encourage you to take notes this morning. I'm probably going to give quite a bit of information that you might want to look at later. And if you have your Bible, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 3, verses 21 to 22. It should come up on the screen. And it says, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. It's a wonderful picture here of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three distinct persons working in divine unity. They all have different jobs, but they are one in name, aim, and objective. I feel that in order to understand this Christian walk, we really need to understand this triune nature of God. We need to know this God that we are walking with. So that's kind of an encouragement and a challenge to look further into the Trinity and this triune nature of God. And there's a couple of questions I found to be helpful when looking into this. One is, what is their power or authority? And what is their characteristics? What is their character? Because they're actually all different. And the constant that you will find, the constant power, the constant characteristic, the constant motivation from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is love. If it's not love, it's not God. God the Father holds all power to create and to judge. His character is loving, jealous, but merciful. God the Son, Jesus, the Messiah, which means anointed one. He is God himself, clothed in human flesh, come to dwell amongst us and show us the way. Jesus is the Word of God made manifest. He holds power to forgive, to make sons and daughters, to heal. But Jesus is not here. We say this quite a lot. Oh, Jesus is here, but he's not here. He was here. But we know that he died. We know that he rose again. And we know that he went up to heaven and Holy Spirit came down. And when Jesus left the earth, he sent his Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is also the person of Jesus. He's the person of God, the Father, but in a spirit form, dwelling here on earth and working through us. He's known in the Greek as the Parakletos, characterized as our helper, our guide, and our advocate. The Bible has so much to say about Holy Spirit, and I really encourage you to do a deep dive into this, because we are living in, I want to say, like the age of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here. In John 14, so he has names, he has titles, he has symbols. In John 14, chapter 26, he says he is our advocate and he is our teacher. In Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 27, he is our intercessor and our helper. He's also referred to as our comforter, our counselor, our strengthener. In John 16:13 and in Romans 1, he's given the title of Spirit of Truth. He's also the Spirit of Adoption, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of the Glory of God, the Spirit of Love, and the Spirit of Promise. I read these things and I thought, Holy Spirit, I really don't know you at all. Holy Spirit has emblems and symbols. In our main passage today, when Jesus was baptized, he was a dove. A dove is a symbol of peace, of order, and of comfort. Another emblem is a seal, not that kind of seal. It's like a glue kind of seal that brings security and belonging. He is water that refreshes and brings fruitfulness and evidence of abundant grace. He's an anointing oil that brings consecration, illumination, and joy. He is fire that brings purification, judgment, and vindication. When John was baptizing Jesus, he was calling for repentance. Earlier in that chapter, Luke chapter 3, in verse 15, it says, the people were waiting expectantly and were wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one is coming. Just lost my place, sorry. One who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So we can all be baptized through Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And it feels like this is potentially what is happening in Asbury, that people are being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is moving and there's a call to repentance and a pouring out for mission. Holy Spirit brings with him fruits and gifts. Who can name me some fruits of the Spirit? You can talk back to me, it's all right. Name some fruits. I know you know them. What was that?
Joy.
Thank you, joy. If you don't know where the fruits of the Spirit are, you can look in Galatians chapter 5. Self-control, thank you. Patience, nice. Gentleness, peace. Patience, yes. Kindness, yes, self-control. Well done, guys. See you read your Bibles. Well done. we've got love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are all the characteristics of my children. I wish. Oh, I wish. But these are definitely all the characteristics of Holy Spirit. And Jesus had all these characteristics because Holy Spirit dwelt within him. If you have received Jesus, then you also have these fruits dwelling in you. You just have to cultivate them. We just have to cultivate them. Now, who can name me some gifts of the Holy Spirit? Oh, silence. they're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yes, Katrina. The sermon? Discernment. Yes, discernment. Top marks. Teaching. Teaching, I think, is mentioned as what? Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's one of the ministry gifts. Yes, that's one of the ministries. Discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Yes. Any others? Prophesying. Yes. Dealing. I think you got the wrong church. Healing. Yes. Healing. Great. So we've got the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gift of faith, gift of healing, gift of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. That means speaking in an unknown language and then translating it. These are sometimes split out into three categories. You've got revelation gifts, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, power gifts, healing, miracles, faith, and the oratory gifts, so tongues and interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 said, follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now stay with me here because this is where it gets exciting. Pinch your neighbor, say, you're still with me. There are two ways that Holy Spirit operates in us. So there's Holy Spirit within us and Holy Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit comes to live within us when we choose to become God's sons and daughters through the person of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Holy Spirit is part of that Trinity package. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within us for character, the fruits of the Spirit. Holy Spirit upon us, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, is for power and mission, and it's the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to say that again. Holy Spirit within us is for character, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. These are good things for our character. Now, Holy Spirit upon us is for power, it's for mission. It's the gifts of the Spirit, word of discernment, word of knowledge, prophecy, healing, miracles. There was a reason Jesus' ministry started when he was baptized. That was when he received the power for mission. In fact, a few verses later, after the genealogy of Jesus, by the way, as an aside, if you want to hear a great sermon on the genealogy of Jesus, Andy Tilsey did a great sermon last week at Sutton, so I recommend listening to his talk. So after the genealogy of Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Then in verse 14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the countryside. This moment when Jesus was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit was the moment he went from carpenter to Messiah. In the same chapter, in verse 18, Jesus goes into the synagogue and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, mission. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, mission. And recovery of sight for the blind, mission. To set the oppressed free, mission. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, mission. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. I love this passage. The way Luke tells it just makes Jesus out to be quite gangster, actually. He's just so bold and authoritative and so changed and transformed. And it's not like he had a lot of transforming to do. He was already the Son of God. But people were like, they didn't recognize him. They're like, isn't this Joseph's son? Joseph the carpenter's son? Now he's talking like this? Wait. Up until this baptism, Jesus performed no healings. He spoke no words of prophecy and he performed no miracles. And we see exactly the same transformation in Acts before Jesus leaves the disciples. He says, referencing this very event, in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Then at Pentecost, this very thing happens. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongues or in other languages. And in an instant, they go from fear, doubt, and denial to proclaiming boldly that Jesus is Lord. He died, he is risen, and he is coming again. Maybe this is a transformation that you long for in your life. Maybe you desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you have a deep hunger to see people healed and set free and walking with a loving and compassionate God. Because I know I do. And this is what happens when Holy Spirit comes upon us and gives us our Holy Spirit language. He transforms us and gives us power to be witnesses, power to go out and make disciples. How do we be witnesses? How do we make disciples? By walking in the gifts of the Spirit, backed up by the fruits of the Spirit. By walking in the gifts of the Spirit, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, discerning of spirits, healing, gifts of miracles, backed up by the fruits of the Spirit, a life and a community that exudes love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So in a minute, I'm going to ask the band to come up. And I'm just going to invite Holy Spirit to come and fill us as we worship. But I just wanted to share a couple of things. Just bringing it back to Asbury this morning, I saw this Instagram post by worship singer Carrie Jobe. So she recently went and she says this: "I drove to Wilmore, Kentucky, to the Asbury revival last night. I've been processing with the Lord ever since. I wanted to stand in the room where revival was happening and just talk to him there. Something is stirring and he is moving, and it's spreading like wildfire in the hearts and lives of people who are hungry and longing for him. Standing in that room last night, I felt like it may have felt like in the days of old. It was pure, it was humble, it was reverent, it was expectant, it was hungry, it was desperate. I'm forever impacted. It's all about Jesus. Spirit of God, move across the earth with revival. I think purity is where it starts, hunger is where it grows, and longing is how it stays." And she quotes John chapter 4, verse 35. "I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest." Can I invite the band up? And as you guys may know, a few weeks ago, we had Jackie Pullinger come and speak to us down in Sutton. We had a wonderful event there. And a lot of people were filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And one of them was a good friend of mine. And she has been practicing speaking in tongues ever since. And she's prayed for a lot of people. She works with a lot of people who are really on the breadline. She works with a lot of vulnerable adults, people who are quite sick. A lot of people are mentally struggling. A lot of them have not enough food to get to the end of the day. So she works in a wonderful project down in Sutton, helping them. And she was telling me that she's been practicing speaking the Holy Spirit in her prayer time, and that she's been praying for people specifically for healing. There's a lot of people who need healing. And she said that three people came back to her. One is a lady who, an Indian lady, she said, who is very overweight. She has issues with her knee and she's been hobbling. She couldn't walk without a stick. She really struggled to get up. And she prayed for her. And the following week she came back and she can walk. She doesn't need her stick anymore. There's another lady who was struggling with bleeding to the point where she couldn't even sit down. She couldn't because she was worried that she was just going to bleed out. She's stopped bleeding. She prayed. My friend Sayuri prayed for her and she stopped. The bleeding has stopped. Another lady, she has a son who suffers from schizophrenia, and at nighttime he has terrible nightmares and visions, and he screams, and it's terrifying, and nobody else can take care of him. Only the mum really understands what it is. A lot of people are quite scared by him. It stopped. This stuff that we have, this power of the Holy Spirit, is really powerful. It's real and it's powerful. And shortly after I came into this role, the Lord gave me a word from Joel chapter 2, verse 28, which I've shared with some of you. And it said, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days." And I just really believe that that is a word for us here in Stockwell. God is going to pour himself out here in Stockwell, here today, here on us. Because we have such a heart for the people in this area. I know we want to see people come to Christ. We want to see people healed. And for that, we need to be filled with Holy Spirit. Never underestimate what a few people sold out for God and filled with Holy Spirit can do. Holy Spirit can do miraculous things, but he needs a vessel. He needs a human being to do it. And there is an invitation from Holy Spirit today. And perhaps I can ask you to stand to your feet and invite you, if you feel comfortable, to just close your eyes. And if you're just an ordinary person, I'm just a human. I'm just here. I've doubted, I've denied, I've feared. Perhaps if that's you, you can just put your right hand up. And if you want to receive the gifts of the Spirit, then I encourage you to put your left hand up. And I'm just going to pray a really simple prayer to ask Holy Spirit to fill us. And then I'm going to hand over to the band and we're going to see what Holy Spirit is going to do. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, our eyes are on you. Come and fill us. Come and fill us afresh, fill us anew. We are open. And we invite you to simply come and do whatever it is you want to do. In Jesus' name.